I'm just not willing to do it. And I hope that you're not. I am not willing to compromise God's word. Amen? I'm not willing to compromise the integrity of the scripture. I'm not willing to compromise what God says for us to do and not to do. If the Bible says it, God means it. Does that make sense today? And we know, according to the book of Revelation, chapter 22, down in verses 18 and 19, the Bible tells us that if you add to God's holy divine word or try to take away from his holy divine word, that the plagues that you read about in that book, the Bible says these plagues shall be added unto you. Do you all believe that? Do we all agree today that all scripture is given by inspiration of God? It is profitable for doctrine, reproof, or correction, for instruction of righteousness, that the man of God can be thoroughly and truly equipped for every good work. Do you believe that? Do we all believe that? Okay, well, we're convinced today that the scriptures are the divine word of God and the inspired word of God. I want to tell you today that we're facing a problem, and we're facing a problem right here in this nation. I'm sad to tell you today that our nation, this great country which we live in, is slowly becoming one of our own enemies. Do you believe that? And we're becoming our own enemy because we as a nation of God's people are compromising, and we may not be individually compromising, hopefully that we're not, but sadly as a nation of God's people, we are slowly beginning to compromise what God has set out for us. I believe by what you and I witness today, and witness on a daily basis, that our nation that God has blessed us with, and if we looked at that and tried to put some descriptives to it, I believe that we would say our country has become somewhat perverted. Would that be fair to say? With all the junk that we see on the media, the junk that we see taking place today in our society, the junk that we see taking place in our own families, the junk that we see taking place among people, it is easy to see without being judgmental that our nation is becoming one of its own enemies. Not only has our country and has the world become somewhat perverted, I'm not saying everybody because we're here today trying and striving to do the right thing, but sadly we see perversions everywhere. I'm sure that God must be very displeased when he looks down and sees what he created today, that there are people that's making a mockery out of God's creation. Do you agree with that? And brothers and sisters, you know as well as I do, God cannot be pleased with that. When we think about some other things, you know that adultery is wrong. And when you think about adultery, I would think adultery would be if I stepped out on Paula or she stepped out on me. That is definitely a physical adultery. Do you agree with that? Today I want to share with you about a compromising nation. And a compromising nation is an adulterer. It's a nation that is stepping out on God. It's a nation that's not doing what God is calling us to do. It is a nation that at one time knew God, one time was following God, but now has went back to holding on the things of the devil. Does that make any sense to you? And the truth of the matter is this, when we become attracted to the world and we become less attracted to God, we are slowly but surely moving into an adulterous relationship because we are cheating on our Heavenly Father. Friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, it seems today as if even our consciences have become dull and insensitive to the things of the world or the things of the Lord. God tells us and commands us and shows us in His Word what we are to do to be satisfying and pleasing to Him. Do we agree with that? Does God tell us very clearly what we need to do? Does God tell us the things that we need to abstain from? To abstain from all appearances of evil. But yet, as a nation of God's people, we're not yielding to that. We're allowing ourselves to get attracted. We're allowing ourselves to fall in those snares that Satan is setting before us. I hope and pray that our nation understands that it is in a very, very, very dangerous situation, and that it is a dangerous thing to listen to the will of God and then to go a different route. It is a dangerous thing to know the will of God and yet to do something totally different. Does that make any sense? Go with me, see what the Bible says over in 2 Peter chapter 2, looking at 20 through 22. 2 Peter chapter 2, 20 through 22, the Bible says, "For if after they have what? The pollutions of the world," talking about the sins of the world, watch this, "through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior," who? Jesus Christ, "they are again entangled in them," watch this, "and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than even the what? In the beginning." Now go with, you ready to go to 21? All right. 21 says, "For it would have been better for them not to have even known the way of righteousness that having known it to turn from the holy commandments delivered to them. Watch verse 22. We shared this together before. The Bible says, but it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own, and a sow having washed, watch this, to her wallowing in the mire. That's a description that the Lord is using for one that knows the truth and then turns away from it. One that knows the way of righteousness and goes back and continuing to live according to the standards of the world. It is like if we are being described as a dog that would return to its own vomit. Amen? Because you're intaking what you've already rejected. Don't allow our nation. And when I mean our nation, that means we have to be one at a time. Isn't that right? And where do we begin? Where do we begin? With ourselves. Can you say that with me? Where do we begin? With ourselves. So if we can help ourselves, then we can begin to help others. We can never try to convert other people until we ourselves are totally converted. Does that make sense? If we are lost, how are we going to help somebody else? If we're in a separated situation from God, how are we going to help someone else grow closer to God? So let's monitor ourselves. Let's take a spiritual inventory and find out where we are in our walk with Him. Folks, sadly, there are many people today that has totally lost it. And some would say, well, Jerry, isn't that judging? Not judging the person, judging their works. They have lost respect for the Lord. Many have lost respect for His Word. Many have lost respect for their brothers and sisters in Christ. And folks today just seem to do whatever they choose without regard to what God would have us to do. I believe, and sadly I believe, that there's been some people who have forgotten Colossians chapter 3 down in verse 17. Where the Bible says, in whatever you do, did you see that? In whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So listen, let you and I together, let you and I be certain that we do not lose respect for ourselves. If we lose respect for ourselves, are we in trouble? Absolutely. Let's make sure that we're not losing respect for one another. Let's make sure that we're not losing respect for the Lord's church. Let's make sure that we're not losing respect for Almighty God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm afraid that sometimes we become very complacent. You know, maybe we take the blood of Jesus for granted. I appreciate every opportunity we get to come together to break bread and to take of that cup, the fruit of the vine. I appreciate that so much because what a bold reminder it is about the reason that I'm here today is because Jesus allowed me to be here today. Amen. The reason I have an opportunity to go to heaven, Brother Bobby, is because Jesus said, Jerry, you've got an opportunity to go to heaven. Now, He's telling me and He's paved the way unto heaven. Jesus says, go with me. I am the way. Very good. So no man comes to the Father except through me, found in John chapter 14, verse 6. So when we're thinking about all of the things where people are compromising, let's make sure that we don't lose respect for ourselves, lose respect for what Jesus has done, and losing respect for the fact that He, Jesus Christ, paved the way into heaven with His own blood. Did He not? All right. Go with me to the book of Galatians, if you don't mind. In the book of Galatians, chapter 6, we're going to look at verses 7 through 9. If we believe the Bible and we still have respect for God's Word, then we have to consider what the Scripture says here. Galatians chapter 6, go with me, verses 7 through 9. The Scripture says, and let us not grow what? Weary while doing good. Is that what the Bible says? Nobody on this side is participating. I'll make sure that we're together. Galatians chapter 6, 7 through 9, is that okay? All right, I had to hit 9 because I want to make sure it wasn't growing weary. Are y'all ready? All right, do not be, God is not, for whatever a man soweth, what's going to happen? Now look at 9 again. Let us not grow what? Let's go back to 8. For he who sows to the flesh will also of the flesh reap what? But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit also reap what? Now look at verse 9. Let us not grow what? No, look at verse 9. Let us not grow what? There you go. While doing good. For in due season we shall finish it up. All right, so we shall reap if we do not lose heart. If we want to reap the good things in life, keep going with God. Amen? You want to reap the good things that the Heavenly Father has for you and me? Then don't give up. You want to reap the things of the world and you want to reap the things that Satan has for you? Just keep living the old way you want to live. Does that make sense? All right. Did you notice a few words there in verse 7? Whatever a man soweth, he shall also reap. We often think about what has happened to our culture today. We often think about what has happened to our society. We often think about what has happened to our nation with all the different acts of iniquity that come about. It can leave a person wondering, if I may. It can leave a person wondering just how and where did all of this come to pass? How did we get here in this situation today? Have you ever thought about that? How did our world get to this situation? How now do we not even frown at some of the things that we hear about? Some of the things that we hear people say, we just dismiss so many different things, don't we? Because the devil is winning. He is making us a little bit more insensitive and a little more insensitive. He's desensitizing us. Does that make any sense? And he's slowly but surely gaining ground. I don't want the devil to win this. I want to be on God's side, and I am on God's side. Say that. We are on God's side. So what we have to do then is remember that we are living in a what kind of nation, brothers and sisters? A compromising nation. Say that. We are living in a compromising nation. But we are not willing to compromise. Amen? Three people agree we're not going to compromise. Amen? All right. That's right. Go with me because I'll get you out early. If not, it'll be a long lesson. So the answer is fairly easy to see. As I said just a moment ago, we seem to be in a nation that has forgotten God. Sadly, sporting events have become a little bit more important than God according to people's moves. Musical events have taken a first seat and God has taken the back seat. Recreation, sadly, in our culture today has taken first place and God has been pushed back. We look lightly upon evil in our days of today, don't we? We don't like it, and we might talk about it a little bit, but we're just not as serious as we used to be about it. The very principle in the book of Galatians, chapter 6, guarantees us that we will indeed reap what we have what. So when we wonder about what's happening in our society, we wonder why our culture is the way it is today, I believe that we have to look back at people my age. What have we taught the youth of today? What about you today, you younger people? What are you teaching the younger people? And then the younger people, what will you teach the people that come after you? The people will only know how to do what we teach them to do. Does that make sense? If we teach them to live righteous, we hope and pray they'll live righteous. But if we teach them that you can live any old way you want, do whatever you want to do, as long as it feels good here and doesn't harm anybody, then go for it. Well, that's not what God says. God says that he must be what? God says he must be first, that's right. Say it with me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his, and all of these things shall be. All right. So let's go head over to our points today. I'm going to bless you today because I'm only going to give you 2 points. Does that sound good? Jerry said, yes, absolutely. Okay, now there's 3. Happened to anybody, couldn't it, Jerry? All right. So let's get on. Let's talk about our lesson today. So I want all of us, seriously speaking, and I'm talking slurred because, I'll go ahead and tell you the truth, that came out again this morning, so I'm having to be very careful and a little bit speedy because if it comes out, this one to my right, she can't remind me of the devil. She'll be laughing at me real strong. All right. And I know Courtney Chris is going to lose it if his tooth flies out. Courtney's going to be like, oh, I'm so glad it happened. All right, Facebook. All right. So let's look now at some signs. I believe it's important that we look at some signs of a compromising nation. Is that okay with everybody? Because like Carolyn talked about on one of our Wednesday night classes, if a person don't know that they need to repent, they're not going to repent, right? If we don't recognize that we are a compromising nation, we're not going to probably change things. So let's take a look and see what's going on. Listen, when a nation accepts the way of life that are forbidden in the scriptures, we are becoming a compromising nation. Does that make sense? When we allow things in our lives and we participate and engage ourselves in things that are not endorsed by the scriptures, we are becoming a compromising nation. Folks, would you agree that one of the big indicators of a nation that is compromising would have to be a nation that promotes immorality? And that is sad, but we are living in a nation today that not only approves it, but they promote immorality. Have you seen that? We've been talking very recently about the television commercials. Anybody, and I know that I pick on Hardee's all the time, but have you seen that Hardee's commercial with that half-naked woman standing there leaning against a race car eating a cheeseburger and the grease is running out? And I thought, what a way to pervert a cheeseburger. And I guess I didn't really look at the car or whatever she was in front of. But the reality is, even what should be a simple commercial regarding a cheeseburger has become perverted. Hunter's Custom Automotive, I probably shouldn't say that out loud, or especially on Facebook, because I took care of some of his family when they passed away. But you remember the Hunter's Custom Automotive, those commercials that they had? They didn't have a fat boy like me out there going, you get bumpers out there for about $99. They didn't have any of that. You know what they had? These half-naked women that were standing out there leaning against their vehicles. You know why? Because that attracts people today, doesn't it? Sadly, we're living in a compromising nation. It will remember, you know, what people remember that commercial because they saw what they would describe as something beautiful. But if we just look at the scripture and we look at God's creation, we'll see that everything God created is beautiful. Amen. So I'm afraid, brothers and sisters, that we are now practicing immorality. A nation that tolerates immorality, or even more sickening, we live in a nation that today rewards immorality. You know what? How often have we said, I'll never buy from them because of this, or I'll never purchase their product because of that, I'll never solicit or patronize that business because of that, and then slowly but surely we go right back doing what we said we wouldn't do. We are rewarding immorality, aren't we? Paul addressed that with the church at Corinth many, many years ago. It is so sad that we are living in a nation that promotes homosexuality. Did you know that not only do we know it's wrong, but our society now promotes it, doesn't it? It promotes it, homosexuality. Well, everybody deserves to be loved. We love them. Everybody deserves to have this, and you shouldn't be a judge. I'm not judging them. But we also have a job, and that is indeed that we are a brother's keeper. And the Bible says that it's wrong. Amen? And if the Bible says it's wrong, and you are a believer in God, and you want to go to heaven, then you have to clear that up. You have to stop practicing homosexuality. But that's not what we do today. Nowadays, we just say, well, it's okay. Maybe he'll learn. Maybe she'll learn. Let's just pray for them. But we're not teaching against it, are we? We're not. We're not teaching against it. We'll mention it, and then we hope and pray as we're doing that, where it says, no homosexuals, no sodomites, and this shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And you're hoping and praying. Nobody's going to ask a question. And if you do, you know what these preachers are doing today? I'll tell you exactly what preachers are doing today. When someone addresses it from the congregation, and they say, okay, we'll get right back on that. We'll come back to that. We'll look at that. That'll be a little later in our lesson. And then they just mow right over it. You know what I'm saying? We are a nation today that is approving homosexuality. It is wrong. Can you say that with me? It is wrong. We also promote, as I said a moment ago, sexual immorality through the media, through pornography, sexual relations that are outside of marriage. That is wrong, brothers and sisters. Don't let anybody tell you it's okay. You know, make sure the milk is good before you buy the cow. That is not true. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's going to cost you your soul. Does that make sense? All right. I just want to make sure we're there. We also know that as we talk about a compromising nation, that greed, wouldn't greed be a nation? Wouldn't that be a compromising nation if we're caught up in greed? Let me show you what I'm talking about. Head over to the book of Matthew 26, if you don't mind. Matthew chapter 26, 14 through 16. We're going to read about a guy who loved Jesus, so he says. A guy who loved his friend Jesus, but we're going to see what he did. In the book of Matthew, chapter 26, 14 through 16, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot. What did he do? And he said, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him? Who's the him? To you. And how many pieces of silver did they count out? All right, they counted out 30. I remember when Mike Thompson was here, I said 29, and Mike, he came unglued. You remember that saying? No, that's 30, Jerry. And that's good. I'm glad he did that. So from that time, he sought opportunity to do what? To betray him. So is it fair for me to say that Judas, because of his greed, sold Jesus? How many Judases are in our congregation today? Are we selling out? Are we selling Jesus out? Maybe it's not for the 30 pieces of silver, but are you selling Jesus out for the drinking? Are you selling Jesus out for the illegal drug use? Are you selling Jesus out for that adulterous relationship that you're thinking about or are in? Are you selling Jesus out for the theft problem that you have? Are you selling Jesus out for the neglecting so great your salvation? Are we selling Jesus out for pornography? Are we selling Jesus out in any of those types of things that the devil is proud of? Are you getting the picture? How it's not just selling Jesus for money, but it's selling Jesus for self-pleasure. Amen? Now, I find great pleasure in serving Almighty God. I find great pleasure in getting home and Paula in the living room doing whatever she's doing, and I get to shut those doors and hammer down in the Bible. That's where I find it. That's my hideout. That's where I get to be. That's what I love to do, because that draws me closer to God. I'm going to tell you right now, I work a public job, you know that, in the funeral home business. And many, many times with the trials and the difficulties and the struggles that come about in that industry, it can pull my attention away like that. I can get so caught up in what I'm doing that I lose track of what I'm supposed to be doing. Does that happen to anybody else? So it behooves me to continue to be strong in the Word, to continue to do what God is calling me to do, because it wouldn't take long. I promise you that. I know you're not proud of this about your preacher, but it wouldn't take long at all to have me right back in the world. In a snap of a finger, I'd be back in that world. Do you understand me? And I'm not the only one that can happen to. So I have to share with you today, brothers and sisters, and tell you that we are living in a compromising nation, and I'm hoping and praying that you and I will keep our focus, that we'll continue to be on the right track, and that we'll never compromise God's Word. Is that fair with everybody else? Matthew 27, 1 through 5. When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people plotted against Jesus. Guess what they plotted it to do? Guess. Okay. And when they had bound him, they led him away. And the Bible says they delivered him to Pontius Pilate. Is that right? He was the what? Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful. And he brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. And he told them, didn't he? He said, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, well, what is that to us? You see to it. Now I want you to watch what happened next. Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed. And the Bible says that he went out, and what did he do, Darlene? He hanged himself. So this individual who had got caught up in greed, Cynthia, what did he do, sis? He went out, he sold Jesus, then he regretted it, and then he took it back. And then they said, well, too late, buddy. No refunds here. No exchanges, no refunds. And he was so hurt by that, what did he do, Jerry? He went out and he hanged himself. Do you see how death came as a result? A physical death, a spiritual death, rejecting Jesus Christ, rejecting God. How many Judas Iscariots are out there today? Getting a picture? Not only immorality, not only greed are indicators of a compromising nation, but what about pride? You think misdirected pride could get us in trouble? You think too much pride could get us in trouble? Do you think that pride, not knowing and realizing that we need God in every single step that we take? Sadly, we are a group of people. Sadly, the world has become, very, very sadly, the world has become so independent, they think they can make it on their own without God. I can't make it 2 seconds without God. Can you? All right, but there are people that think that we can, and we've got to be very careful with that. Go with me to the book of Proverbs, if you don't mind. Let me show you something else. The book of Proverbs, chapter 16, 18 through 20. Proverbs 16, 18 through 20. You know what? When your person has too much pride, that gives a false sense of security, doesn't it? It gives a false sense of, or maybe too much confidence. You know, I can do this, and I've done this, and I accomplished this. Are you noticing that word I that I'm using? I was able to do that, and I did this, and I did that, and I did this. When we get to that point, you're in trouble. When I get to that point, I am in trouble. That means I've got way too much pride, and I've got pride in myself and not pride in my relationship with God. Does that make sense? All right, I want you with me to look at Proverbs chapter 16, 18 through 20. The Bible tells us, and I appreciate it, Brother Larry, having that up on the board a while ago, pride goes before, and a haughty spirit before a what? Better be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Verse 20, he who heeds the word wisely will find what? Watch this, and whoever trusts in the Lord, give me the next 3 words, happy is he. Do you love that? Happy is he when we trust fully in the Lord. So let's be sure that we're not a compromising nation. Let's be sure that we're not a compromising individual. Another sign of a compromising nation would be this would be slothfulness and laziness. Does anybody know what the word slothful means? It means ridiculously lazy, doesn't it? That's the best way to word that. Are there people today that's ridiculously lazy? Are there people in our society today that just want things handed to them? Absolutely. And you know what? It's wrong. We've got to make sure that we change some of that. We are already today, seriously speaking, we are today currently living in a nation with an entitlement attitude. Did you know that? The world owes me this. This is what you owe me. The government ought to take care of me. This is what they ought to do for me. And this group ought to do this. And this group ought to do that. You know what? God doesn't owe us squat, does he? We owe God. Amen? There's no entitlement. You don't deserve the mercy of God. And I don't deserve the grace of God. I don't deserve the forgiveness of God. And neither do you. It is by his love for you and me that we get to go to the cross. Amen? It is by his love for you and me that we get to stand at the foot of the cross and remember what Jesus did for you and for me. That's why, Bobby, you and I didn't earn that. It's by his mercy. It's by his love. And it's by his understanding. And it is by the greatest sacrifice that has ever been given that you and I can stand at the foot of the cross and ask our Jesus to forgive us of our sins. Amen? And to wash in the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's not compromise that. Let's not give in to these other things. Let's not have an entitlement attitude and, God, you owe me this. I'm sad to say that, and I may have contributed to that. I'm hoping that we're not doing that today. But do you agree that we are raising up a generation of people and we're kind of setting the precedent, if I may, that they have things coming to them? And it's okay. I know as a parent, I want to make it as easy as I can. I don't want my son to go through what I went through. And, you know, we don't want their kids to go through what they went through. Are you getting the picture? That seems okay, don't it, as a parent or a grandparent? But at the same time, we better be very, very careful not to show them or teach them, don't worry about the world owes you anyway. Mm-mm. And God doesn't either. We owe God. Does that make sense? Okay. The book of Proverbs chapter 19, verse 15, laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Proverbs chapter 10, down in verse 4, the Bible says, he who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent, what does that say? It makes rich. That doesn't mean you're going to be a millionaire, but that means you should be able to provide for yourself. Does that make sense? So we need to make sure that we're not lazy, slothful. And we've got some slugs in this world. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are some lazy, trifling people, seriously speaking, in our society today. Parents and grandparents, let all of us be very careful not to bring up a generation of lazy, slothful young people. It'll hurt us, and it'll hurt the next generation. Does that make sense? Okay. Second and last point this lesson goes with you. Well, it's going to be a third now since Jerry says something. I'm just kidding. Now that we know that we live in a nation that is compromising, did we all agree with that? Okay. And we've looked at a few things, a few little target points about, you know, some indicators, if I may, about a compromising nation. I think it's important now to look at what we can do to help turn our nation around. Does that sound okay? We talked about how bad it can be. We talked about how bad it is in some situations. Well, now that we know that, what do we need to do? What can we do to try to fix this? It is painfully obvious, listen, it is painfully obvious that we as a nation of God's people have looked the other way, haven't we? When we know it's wrong, we have looked the other way. So what we've got to do first of all in this point is make sure that we stop ignoring the problem. Quit sweeping it under the rug. Is that okay? When we know that there's an issue, whether it be with a direct family member or ourselves or a problem in the church or whatever it is, let's address the issue spiritually, scripturally speaking. Is that all right with everybody? Because when we sweep it under the rug, it doesn't go away. It's just out of sight, isn't it? And then if we keep on sweeping under the rug, what happens? Eventually the rug goes bad, doesn't it? Because it can't keep covering up the rocks and the pebble and the dirt that's under it. And eventually it's going to come through. And now you have a bigger mess, don't you? Don't you? So we've got to fix that. We need to remember, brothers and sisters, that we all sin, that we all fall short of the glory of God. So let's not put on our judgment hat and think that we're now the judge, because the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We often wonder, and I've heard other people say that as well, we often wonder what in the world has happened to our society. It's very simple. We turned from God, didn't we? Very simple. You probably saw this on Facebook. This is where I saw it. And it says, you want to know why there's so many school shootings? It wasn't when we had the Ten Commandments and a picture of Jesus in there, or what we thought the picture of Jesus was. How many school shootings did you hear about? None. But the very moment that we allow these people, these liberals, to come in here and say, I think you better get that out of there. You're violating my rights. Well, what about our rights? But we don't stand up for that, do we? We're a bunch of wimps. Christians are wimps today. You don't like to hear your preacher say that. I'm guilty of it. We sit there and say, well, you know, how do they have their rights? You're violating our rights. And then we talk among one another. And that's the end of it, isn't it? It is what it is. But we didn't hear about school shootings when Jesus was in the school. We didn't hear about homes being demolished inside, marriages being separated when God was the focal point. You agree with that? You just didn't hear about it often. Yeah, was it there? Absolutely, because the devil's alive and he's well, and he's seeking whom he can devour, so he's going to tear up your home if you let him. But if people in the family are focused upon God and his righteousness, then I believe it's going to become pretty easy to maintain that marriage. Do you agree with that? We often wonder what happened to our society. We turned away from God. Look what Solomon says about this over in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name, here's all they got to do, quit thinking or all that. That's what he's saying. If they will humble themselves, is that what the scripture says? If they will humble themselves and pray and then seek my face, but that's not all. What do they have to do? They got to be willing to do what? That's right, Bobby. That's right, Ashley. Turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from where? Heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and not only will I forgive their sin, I'm going to take away those plagues, amen? I'm going to heal their what? I'm going to heal their land. Everybody wants to be well. Everybody wants a perfect nation. We want a perfect little setting. We want God to bless us in every perfect way, and yet what are we doing? We're contributing to a compromising nation, aren't we? So what's wrong with our world today? We are. What's wrong with our society today? I can show you if you'll follow me in just a minute. We'll go in that little room and there's a mirror about this big. Go in there and look in the mirror. I'm not trying to discourage you or myself. I'm not trying to be mean, but the reality is we are the problem. Amen? So we've got to get some things corrected. We've got to really work on the fact that, hey, this nation is compromising, but I will not be part of that. That's what we're going to have to make a commitment to ourselves and to God. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. So when we think about those things, we know that God will heal us if we'll just come back to him, but we've got to humble ourselves to get our nation back on its spiritual feet. We also need to, this will help us, and I'm afraid that we only pray for the things that we need, but we need to be praying, period. Amen? In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible says, pray without. In the book of Luke chapter 18, verse 1, the Bible says, man ought always to and not. And thank you, Bobby, and not lose heart. So are you one today that is, seriously speaking, praying for our nation? Are you praying for our leaders, for those that make decisions that will affect the nation that you and I live in? If we want a righteous nation, brothers and sisters, we need to be praying. And it reminds me of a guy named David in the Bible. Oh, how he prayed. If you read the book of Psalm, don't you see and can you not see the beautiful prayers that he did? This side? Okay, so we think about those beautiful prayers. You and I, we need to emulate what David did and be a man or a woman after God's own heart. Not saying that David was a woman. Let me get that corrected. Well, let's not forget also to seek God's face in everything. We should be seeking God's face in everything we do. Come before his word with thanksgiving. Amen? Come before his presence with thanksgiving. Come before him in worship each Lord's day. And at every opportunity, come before it, every chance we get, come before the very face of Almighty God. And especially come to worship God in this heavenly place. Amen. John chapter 4, verse 24, God is a spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. To turn this nation around, you and I have got to be willing to do something. We've got to be willing to leave our sins behind and head toward the righteousness of God. Amen. We've got to put the sin down. Reach our hands up because we're the humble one. God is up, we're down. Amen? Don't try to elevate yourself to where Jesus is. You can't do it. You don't need to do it. But we need to put the sin behind us, Daniel Jr., and then we need to reach up and hold the nail-scarred hands of Jesus Christ. Jerry Jr., you agree with that? Grab the nail-scarred hands of Christ and let him lead us to that beautiful, prepared place called heaven. Is everybody in agreement? James chapter 4, 7 and 8. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and guess what he'll do? Go to 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded people. So what is the writer saying to us? Don't think that you can have a heart full of iniquity, heart filled with worldly things, and still be satisfying to Almighty God. That's double-minded, isn't it? That's hypocrisy. That's hypocritical. Let's put sin behind us. Do the very best we can at rejecting the sin and accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior. Accepting Him by doing what He's calling us to do in His Word. When we think about our living, we need to live faithful. That faithful obedience that we can read about in Revelation 2:10, being faithful into and even unto our what? And then again, back over at James chapter 4, verse 7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. I'm convinced today that you and I, we need to kick the devil right in his mouth. Do you agree with that? Kick him right in the face. Get out of our lives. We've said it before. Get the devil out of here. Get out of my marriage. Get away from my children. Get out of my household. Get away from me on the job. The devil, get away from me in traffic. Amen? Whew. Well, that's where he just jumps in, and he gets in every time. I lock the doors, Jerry, and he still gets in. And I don't know how we did this, but somehow we'll get behind Farmer Joe every single time I'm late somewhere. And it'll be behind those little black cars that's got, you know, the little sticker on the back that says, you know, that don't laugh, it's paid for. And I'm like, well, it should be. The car's 900 years old, and you're doing 12 miles an hour. And then you try to go around, and then he speeds up. And then you try to back off, and then he backs off. And then finally you go around, and guess what? You get up there, and there's a state trooper sitting on the other side. And then you get pulled over, and he rides right on by. Just like what happened to me at 51st and Charlotte, my first week here. Boy, do I remember that policeman. Boy, do I remember how it was his fault that he had his radar gun out. Anyway, let's get back. As we close our lesson today, let me remind you again that we are in a compromising nation, aren't we? And can we do anything about that? Absolutely, we can do something about it. Let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, we're going to go to chapter 12, and we're going to look at verses 13 and 14, and then we're going to close the lesson after that. Everybody ready? Let us hear the conclusion of the, say it, whole matter, okay? Fear God, and then do what? For this is man's, do you know what that means? This is man's all? That's his duty. Thank you, Jerry. That's his responsibility. That is a God-given responsibility that he's given you. This is your all. This is your responsibility. You can do this. Is that what he's saying? For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it's good or what? Whether it's good or evil. Let's close. We're living in a compromising nation, yes or no? Can you do anything about it? Some said no. See me after the service. But I want you to know today that you can do something about it. And what we can do about this is make sure that we're living for God, not living for the devil. Amen? Put Jesus Christ first and foremost in your life. But before anything can happen, if you're not a Christian, you've got to become one. Or you're living in a compromising nation. You're compromising with the devil. You're allowing the devil to convince you to stay in that pew. Don't respond to the invitation. Don't you dare go up front and ask for the prayers of the congregation. And whatever you do, please don't be baptized. You don't need to do that. That's what he's doing. And if you agree with that and you do what he's calling you to do, you're compromising. Do you agree with that? So if you have a need today, let us help you. Let us pray with you, for you, help you, and encourage you any way that we can. If you're not a Christian, don't you dare let Satan hold you in that seat any longer. Let's get things right today. Amen. Hear his word. Believe, repent, confess, be baptized for the forgiveness of sin. Live faithful unto and into your death. And always remember that we are indeed. All right. And then as you're hearing God's word, that desire will just continue on and on and on. Today, if you're subject to the invitation, you need anything at all, you're welcome to come right now. As together we stand.